We depend on direct, unquestionable, reputable eyewitness accounts. Because eyewitness accounts tell us what someone saw with their own eyes, tell us what someone experienced in their own experience. They tell us what someone heard with their own ears. They tell us about what took place. Just suppose that we go over here on Kelly Highway and 50th Street, right by Sunny Mead. Just suppose I randomly pick four people in our church congregation and ask you if I could use you to put you on one of the four corners there on Kelly and 50th Street. And the purpose of that would be that we're going to stage an accident. So it's all staged. It's all put on. It's all prop. But you're going to be at one corner, and someone else is going to be another corner, and two other people are going to be in the other two corners. And then after that, we would ask you to do a homework assignment to tell us five things that was crucial that you saw. Sounds simple. Sounds doable. It sounds like that would be an easy task. But the odds would be astronomical that all four would see and record and say the same thing that all four saw standing on a corner where the accident took place stages. On this Easter Sunday morning, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, we call them in Scripture, they all agree in their writings on significant things. Based on eyewitness accounts. All four of those Gospels was written with 50 years apart. But when we read them, when we study them, when we kind of unpack them, all four of those Gospels come together to say the same thing from four different eyewitnesses. They say the tomb was open that day. They say the tomb was empty that day. They say there was an angel there that told them that he has risen. They all say that Jesus is alive. They gave four, five, six exact facts, eyewitness facts of what they saw, what they witnessed, what they experienced. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, Scripture tells us about the first eyewitness that saw Jesus on that resurrected Sunday morning. Mark 16, verse 9, and when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. So, Scripture records the very first eyewitness, the very first person to see with their own physical earthly eyes, the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, was none other than Mary, a follower of Jesus. By the way, the first sermon preached, the first sermon that was recorded about Jesus' resurrection was in Acts chapter 2. And Peter preached the resurrection, which became the main theme of gospel preaching churches. The resurrection matters. The resurrection is vital. The resurrection is paramount. The resurrection is the foundation of our faith. It's the foundation of our church. And it's the foundation of eternal hope. So just to be clear, Mary Magdalene and some other women, this is important, came to the tomb early. They came, don't miss it, they came with no thought, no expectations, no hope of Jesus being resurrected. No. They came there to anoint the dead body of Jesus. They came there to put spices and ointments on the decaying body of Jesus himself. In those days, they didn't embalm. Jews didn't embalm dead bodies. And so on that first Easter Sunday, recorded here in Mark's Gospel as well as the other four Gospels, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had been dead and buried for 3 days, had begun to smell and decay and to rot. What bodies did in those days? So their focus was to apply their fragrances and their perfumes and their ointments to that dying, decaying, dead body. You see, Mary, after Jesus saved her, after Jesus had rescued her, after Jesus had simply came to her and loved on her, she was changed forever. She was a follower, dedicated, devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John 20, here's what it says: the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. Same person. She came into the sepulcher and see if the stone rolled away. Stone's gone. Grave's empty. So Mary does what probably would have done. Mary jumps to conclusions. She's looking in there and there's no body to anoint. There's no bodies to put spices on. There's no body to put fragrance of perfume on. And so Mary simply jumps to conclusion. And the Bible says in John 20 that she looks in there, sees it, it's empty, she's bewildered, she don't know what to think. She turns around, the Bible says, and she begins to run in the opposite direction. In verse 2, it says that she runneth and cometh to Peter and John. Here's what she said. She comes to the conclusion. She said, they have taken away my Lord. She didn't come that morning expecting him to be resurrected. She didn't come that morning expecting that grave to be empty. She came that morning to anoint the dead body of Christ with ointments and with spices and with fragrances and perfumes because she loved him. But she ran to conclusions and she's telling Peter and John, the grave's empty. He's gone. Someone's got him. A grave robber, can you believe it? A grave robber has come to him. And they didn't have anybody. She assumed. She had the wrong conclusion. In John 20, Mary returns weeping after she told Peter and John. She's there weeping. She sees somebody over there and she begins to talk to him. She thinks he's the gardener. Gospel of John chapter 20. And while she's talking to him, if you'll just tell me where you laid him, out of nowhere, that voice of authority, out of nowhere, that voice of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ spoke to her just in that very place. And he said, Mary. And what he did was that voice. What he did, she got it. In your voice. She didn't recognize that she saw him. She saw him die. She saw him when he died. And he didn't look like a man. Scripture tells us. But on that day, she saw him while he was a gardener. But when he said, Mary, oh, it changed her. Oh, it brought it back. She was familiar with that. He said, Mary, right then and there, her eyes were open. Right then and there, her eyes saw. Right then and there, her eyes became the first witness to the resurrected Lord.
Why were you still on the road? And the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God is chosen. And the sound of his voice It's the sweet and perfect mercy. And the glory that he made to me, bring me my love. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, by the grace tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can praise tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Mark 16, verse 12 is the second eyewitness account of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. After that, he appeared another form of the two of them as they walked and went to the country. Get the picture, it's Easter Sunday morning. It's Sunday as the second people, these first people see Jesus. Get the picture in their mind, Jesus is dead. It's time for these two to go home. We're introduced here in Mark's gospel, not just to Mary Magdalene as the first eyewitness, but we're introduced to these two men who other gospel accounts say they're on the road to Emmaus, a little village 7 miles outside Jerusalem. These two have been followers of Jesus. They've witnessed with their own eyes miracles, supernatural things. They've seen with their own eyes as they followed Jesus, as they served him. They knew this man as Rabbi, miracle worker, teacher from Nazareth.
They knew him as a man that claimed to be sent from God, and his actions backed it up. But here it is, the first Easter. Here it is, the first day of the week. Here it is, Sunday morning. Easter Sunday, the first Easter, and there's no joy in their life. Can I just tell you something that every single one of us here can relate to this morning? The longest walk we'll ever take is when we walk away from the grave of a loved one, someone we love. See, now we can understand these men. We understand what they're doing. We kind of wrap our arms around the earthly, natural portion of how we can grasp this truth this morning. All of us have walked away from the graveside of a service of a loved one. And know that we felt like these two men feel. We feel like the world has ended. We feel like thinking that I'll never be the same again. You probably felt like I have, crying until you can't cry no more. Or maybe wondering if there was anything more you could have done or I could have done differently. So we understand that portion. So let these two men, these second eyewitnesses in the scripture, says that when they're leaving Jerusalem, they're going to Emmaus. And they're talking about the events of the last days. These two men are disciples, followers. They're believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here they're together walking and talking amongst themselves. And as they're talking, they begin to ask questions to each other. I wonder what happened to his body. It's gone. I wonder where he is. Why did he leave us? He said he loved us. Where's Jesus when we need him most? Probably what they're talking about on this road to Emmaus. As these two men continue their walk, as they reminisce about the days they walked with him, the days they talked with him, the days they served with him in ministry, I can hear one of them saying, hey, remember that time that crippled man and we got him on that mat and we took him to the top of the building and we tore the roofing away and we lowered him down? Remember that day when Jesus healed him? I can see them as they're walking together and they're talking about memories and they're talking about events they were part of, and I can almost hear one of them say, hey, remember that time when those 5,000 men was hungry? And we started making excuses like, we don't have enough to feed them. I mean, we only got a little saffron. We only got this little couple of fishes and five little loaves. And I mean, what's that amongst so many? And Jesus come down. And Jesus took that saffron. They were there as witnesses. And they were there as servers. And they were there as in ministry serving other people. And they saw it. And they felt it. And they experienced it. And they're talking about it. They said, that guy, he said he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it, and it just kept multiplying. And we fed 5,000 men, and other gospels say, plus women and children. Oh, they're reminiscing, they're talking amongst themselves about those days gone by. But on this day, they're bewildered. On this day, they're confused. On this day, they're just talking about what happened. I'm sure one of them's talking about, Just less than a week ago, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and said, Lazarus, come forth. Just a week ago, he raised a man from the dead. Where's he at? And they said, and then he was beaten, and then he was crucified, and then he was killed, and then he was buried. And now, we're left all alone, they're saying. But unknown to these two men, don't miss it. Unknown to these two men, walk into Emmaus, depressed, discouraged. There appears a stranger unto them walking with them right on the road to Emmaus. Now, we would say, man, hey, that stranger might be like a third wheel in the group of two, or he might be like like greets a crowd, so they're kind of like don't really even give him the time of the day. He's a stranger there. And these two are perplexed. Because this stranger says, "Excuse me, fellas. But what are y'all talking about?" And the two are like, "You don't know? Like, everybody knows what's happened. Enemies know, his followers know, believers know, disciples know. Everybody knows. You don't know what we're talking about?" And they said, "Hey, you don't know that Jesus was crucified and he died and they buried him? You don't know that?" And then Jesus began to take over the conversation. And in Luke 24, it talks about, he says, Jesus said, beginning with Moses, that's Jesus, expounded unto them all the scripture concerning himself. That stranger wasn't a third wheel. He wasn't a crowd. He was the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't no stranger after all. They saw him as a stranger. They didn't recognize him. And he begins to expound scripture for Moses. Get the picture. These strangers don't recognize him. And he explains how all the scriptures in the Old Testament, that points to Christ. He's the seed of woman. He's the kinsman redeemer. He's the scapegoat. He's the lamb. The one that taketh away the sin of the world. He began to talk. And as they walked, they're hearing this stranger. They don't know it's Jesus. And they begin to hear him just expound scripture. And Jesus began to tell them. He said, "That one you said was crucified and dead and gone and the tomb is empty." Jesus said, "No, hey, in the Old Testament, he's on every page. In the Old Testament, in all scripture, he's the theme of the whole Bible." He begins to say, "He is the prophet greater than Moses. He's the priest greater than Aaron. He's the king greater than David. Hey, he's the captain greater than Joshua." Can you imagine? Can you just kind of put yourself in that place and think about, man? In verse 32, it says, "These two men on the way to Emmaus," it's Easter Sunday afternoon, "the strangers schooling them on the law of Scripture." Here's what they said. I love this part of that story. It says, they're talking to each other after he started talking about all the scriptures. He said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he opened the scriptures on our walk?" I call it holy heartburn. Can you imagine these two strangers that are discouraged and down and depressed and despondent? And all of a sudden, the stranger begins to talk about Jesus and begins to talk about all he is, the Old Testament. And the Bible said, they said to themselves, "Oh man, did our hearts burn?" Our hearts burned within us. Hearts burned. Their eyes were open. And they knew him for who he was. That's the second eyewitness to Jesus' resurrection. Since Jesus is alive, death has been defeated. Heaven's made, it is more than just a dream. Since Jesus resurrected, our sins can all be forgiven. All his promises are true since he's resurrected on Easter Sunday morning. Brother Ruben.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. But now I see the Lord has promised good to me. is her my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. For you were when I lay in the tomb. Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the grave?
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground. From the pierces round and through.
One night's above, one gives of peace. When fears are still, when striving cease,
my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, a gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the cross who came to save.
To on that cross, where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied.
For my sins on him was laid. Here at the death of Christ I lay. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. In the bursting glow, in the glorious day, up from the grave he rose again.
And as he stands in victory, since earth has honored his dead body,
Mark tells us that the first eyewitness was Mary Magdalene, verse 9. But he, after that, he appeared to the two men on their way to Emmaus. Verse 12. And then the third appearance, it says in verse 14, Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, his disciples. Get the picture, these disciples, these 11 disciples, have assembled together. We call church. They've assembled. They've come together. It's Easter Sunday night. Jesus had resurrected already that morning, and they don't believe it. And they've assembled together to support each other, to try to encourage each other in what is known as the upper room. As a matter of fact, John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 19, the same evening being the first day of the week, these disciples were gathered for fear of the Jews. They began to think, like, these Jews are going to think we stole his body. These Jews are going to think that we hid his body. They're going to come. They've already killed Jesus, our leader. They're going to come after us. These disciples, what we say. Think about it. And they're gathered together. And the Bible says they're gathered out of fear. Now, these are close followers of Jesus. They were the his right-hand men. They were the people that was with him. They're the ones that eyewitnessed everything he did in his 3.5-year ministry. And on this day, Easter Sunday night, they gathered together, and they're frightened, they're terrified, they're scared for their very lives. They're afraid that someone is going to come and get them. And out of nowhere, just like Jesus showed up in that garden out of nowhere, just like Jesus showed up on the way to Emmaus, out of nowhere, here in the upper room, Scripture tells us in the great Gospel of John 19, out of nowhere, Jesus appears and stands in their midst, and they see him there. And here's what Jesus says. It sounds so much like Jesus. He says, "Peace be unto you." Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He said, "Peace be unto you," and they knew it. Mary knew it. The two men to Emmaus said, "Our hearts burned." Oh, did our hearts burn after we knew that was him as he spoke the scriptures to us. And now he says, "Peace be unto me." And lo and behold, there he is. And they're glad. Eyewitness accounts matter. They're actually the most and the strongest and most valuable evidence there is. Eyewitness. And let's just be clear. Mary in the garden, we've already talked about it, wasn't looking for Jesus. She thought he was the gardener. These two men on the road to Emmaus, they weren't looking for Jesus. They saw this man as a stranger. They didn't recognize him as who he was, Jesus. And now we got these 11 disciples who never expected to see Jesus. They're shaking in their boots. They're scared to death. They think Jesus is a ghost until he said what he said. They became eyewitnesses. The Bible says Mary was the first eyewitness. He said, and the Bible says the two men on Emmaus was the second time Jesus appeared. And then the third eyewitness was these 11 followers, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you what Scripture says? It says 11 times in 40 days, Jesus appeared in person to believers. He appeared to some people indoors. He appeared to other people outdoors. He appeared to some people in the daytime. He appeared to other people at nighttime. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, he says, Jesus appeared to some 500 people at one time after these three accounts.
He goes on to say that if you don't believe me, half of them are still alive. Go ask them for yourself. They're eyewitnesses. He wanted to make sure that when we read the scripture, he wanted to make sure when we read the Bible, he wanted to make sure when we read the record and the account, that we could be assured that, hey, eyewitness after eyewitness after eyewitness saw what they saw, experienced what they experienced, and they recorded it in scripture.
The Bible says in Deuteronomy, it says, a matter must be established by testimony of 2 to 3 witnesses. So witnesses are important. Did you notice that I said 11 disciples were there? Did you notice, did you pick up on it, that one was missing? Because there's 12. The one that was missing is what we call Doubting Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas because he didn't show up at church Sunday night, Easter Sunday night. You see, Thomas was a powder. You ever know people that pouted? If you ever known Baptists, they do a lot of pouting. I'll just say it. Amen. But once Jesus died, Thomas got discouraged. Thomas got depressed. Thomas wanted to give up. He began to pout like the one that we followed, the one we fought, the one that we hoped in is gone. Thomas became a powder. He decided not to go to church that night. But not only did he become a powder, he became a doubter. That's where he gets his nickname, Thomas the Doubter. He missed that day. He missed seeing Jesus. He missed being part of that experience. He missed being an eyewitness to the very risen Lord Jesus Christ. Because he doubted and because he pouted. The 11 said, let's go find Thomas. We got to find Thomas. We got to tell Thomas that he's alive. We got to tell Thomas that we saw him. We got to tell Thomas that it's him. And so when they tell him, scripture says this. Here's what Thomas said. He said, except I see. And except I feel the nail prints in his hands and the wound in his side. You can tell me all you want to. You can tell me what you saw. I don't believe it until I see with my own eyes and I feel with my own hands. And the Bible in John 20, 1 week later, the next Sunday, the Bible says all 12 are together. So Thomas joined them in the upper room. Jesus shows up again, right through the walls, right through the doors. That's what he does. And Jesus calls Thomas out. Thomas, come here. He already knows. Jesus is God. He knows. He calls Thomas out in the scripture in John 20. He says, Thomas, hey, you come here and you check out my hands. You check out my side. Be not faithless. But be believing, Jesus said to Thomas that night. That quick, eyewitness account, that quick, when he saw Jesus, Thomas became a shouter. He was a powder, he was a doubter, but on this night he's a shouter. And here's what he shouted, my Lord and my God. He didn't have to feel his hands, he didn't have to check his side out. He saw him with his eyes. He recognized him. He knew his voice. And he bows down to the Son of God, the resurrected Christ. He bows down and says, shout, my Lord and my God. Here's what Jesus said. Let me close. Jesus says, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed or they that have not seen yet believe my faith. That's us. How's your faith doing this Easter Sunday? I can't do any better than I did. I'm simply telling you about the eyewitnesses account. I'm telling you about people that saw it with their own eyes. I'm telling you about people that rejoiced in what they saw. I'm telling you what's recorded in Scripture. It's eyewitnesses account, and they all match. They all say the same thing. They all come to agreement that Jesus was the resurrected Son of God. on this Easter 2023, we celebrate three truths. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. And we're not alone. Brother.
Thank you. When I long from wonder and consider all the world my hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, I pass throughout.
Let's all stand to receive this portrait.
Then sings my soul, I sing out to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, I sing out to thee. How great thou art.
And when I feel that God his son does bear me, send him to die, I scarce can take it in. That all at that cross my burden gladly bear me, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Amen.
Then sings my soul, I sing God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, I sing God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, I sing God to thee. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, I sing God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
God bless you for being so patient with us today and with the program we had for you today. We hope that your hearts were warmed and your life is going to be blessed because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Well, in 2023, we need to have something that we have hope in, something that we can hang to, and something that we can be assured about. And that's that Jesus is alive and Jesus is with us, and we're not alone in this crazy world. We got Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. You're here today and you need to make a decision. We'll give you an opportunity to do that today as we do an invitation. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for Easter. We thank you for our praise team, our choir. We thank you for the Word of God that talks about eyewitness accounts. Father, we pray now to speak to hearts to do what you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Brother Reuben.
Amen.